Welcome to 239 Uncensored. Everything Southwest Florida and beyond with your host, Tim Jarrett. This podcast covers it all. Real talk on issues from real estate to real crime. Join the discussion on hot topics to politics. Don't get left behind. Be in the know about everything Southwest Florida and beyond.
Hello, welcome to 239 Uncensored, and we are in the studio tonight, and I have no other than the Mark Baker. We got a lot going for you tonight. We're going to just bullshit around a little bit, have a good time. How you doing, Mark?
All right. It's good to be back.
Yeah, you know, so I know initially we talked a little bit about the COVID, and we get a little frustrated. It is definitely making people lazy. We talked a lot about that.
I got my stimulus check. Why would I do anything else?
Hey, I got my $600, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go buy me a TV at Best Buy.
Oh, man, I'm going to burn that money up. You know that's outdoors money. People did get lazy, though. You're locked down. You're on lockdown.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I go, like I said, I told you before, I go to these stores, and they're like, oh, no, now we're only open from 10 to 6. I'm like, why are you only open from 10 to 6? I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
What'd Koveka say? What'd Dr. Koveka say? He said you can only get, it's like a manatee zone, right? You can only hit a manatee in this certain area. You can only get COVID during these certain times if you go to these businesses.
Yeah, if you go after 6 o'clock at night, your chances of getting COVID are going to be tenfold. Now, I will tell you this, that I had the opportunity, and I'm sure most of you guys did as well, listening. When COVID first came out, I got myself really focused on the news. I was watching the news at night. I had a little breakdown on the weekend. I turned it over, watched a little Netflix, I saw this. My daughter gave me a call and said, Dad, did you see this show? And I'm like, what show is it? She said, it's Tiger King, the Tiger King.
That's Joe Exotic?
Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. So, let me check it out. So I watched one episode. That was a huge, huge mistake. Because when I got to the end of the first episode,
you're hooked.
I had to go check out the other one, you know? And Joe's crazy. I mean, he had like a couple really cool, lines.
I had my days of coke. I had my days of drinking. I had my days of meth.
I had my days where a tiger tore an employee's arm off. I had to go in there and tell everybody I'd get her money back if they needed to be.
You remember the one time that the lady, the girl that was working there, got her arm tore off. You had to go in and tell the whole, crowd.
Did you see that clip? They're all standing there like, what? What happened?
Can I get my money back? That's all they were worried.
Well, he said to give you money back, but I don't know. They're ready to see the show, I think. Can we see your arm?
But I'll tell you what, man, it was unbelievable, that show. And then the worst part about it was I watched it every episode. I think I spent like 7 hours. And guess what? I'll never, ever get those 7 hours back.
I confess, I watched it too.
You watched it?
I had to watch it. It was like watching a car crash. I mean, you just had to see it. You had to see what's going to happen. And then, the whole Carol Baskin thing. And then the one guy, what was his name? Andre Anvil or something, DeAndre or something, some other cat with a stable full of tigers.
Yeah, exactly. The bad part is you go to work, right? And if you hadn't watched it, you were like a loser for some reason. It's like everybody's like, what do you mean you haven't seen Tiger King? I'm like, no, I haven't seen Tiger King yet. I mean, give me a break.
Joe Exotic.
And everybody's talking about it at work, and then you feel like you're an outcast because you haven't seen Joe Exotic or the Tiger King, and you're a loser now.
Well, when you were quarantined, there wasn't much to do but surf. You could watch YouTube for 4 hours. You get hung up on it.
it's true. Have you ever started watching, YouTube? I get kind of hooked on the girls going fishing, and, all I see is bikinis. And before I know it, I've spent 4 hours sitting on a computer, and I haven't done shit all day. And I got the lawn to mow, things to do, and it gets crazy. YouTube can get you sucked in.
Yeah, you can't even get started. Same with Netflix. You get to watching something like that, and you just can't help yourself.
Yeah. There's no doubt, though, overall in general, that COVID-19 has really, really made people I mean, extremely, extremely lazy, I think. And, you know, and everybody's got the reason, the excuse for it. They're all like, yeah, you know, this COVID thing is kind of, I know, let's get business done. You
well,
know,
the media scared the hell everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Though.
That's
you
know, true.
You're going to die. I mean, the plague's coming, locusts are coming, the end of the time's coming, you're going to die. And you had to go on lockdown. Now, I didn't lock down. That was just an excuse for me to lock out in the woods to be away from everybody. I mean, I was my boat was running.
Yeah,
I was that was during turkey season during March, so it was time to get out in the woods and call a little turkey. I mean, you just had to get out there and get after them. There ain't no need sitting at home watching Tiger King.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Think about this though. Back when we grew up, and most of you that are listening, back when we grew up, if we had COVID back then, you know, it wouldn't have mattered. It would be like, all right, go out and do this.
Listen, if you had COVID, your mom would bring you in and give you a little shot of turpentine and whiskey. I swear to God, turpentine. They didn't do that up in Maine.
I would have been done.
Oh, no, turpentine, a little bit of whiskey. Turpentine and sugar. And then every once in a while, if that didn't get it, they did a little shot of whiskey and sugar. Just a little whiskey and sugar.
Mark,
where you need to be, I'm telling
now
you.
Now I know what's the issue.
Now. Yeah. We rode bicycles with no bike helmets. Remember when I was growing up back then, Evel Knievel was a badass. You remember that?
Yeah.
Did you ever have one of those toys?
Oh, the toys are great.
And you hit the button, that sumbitch took off, jumping stuff, right? Now, I held the record in my neighborhood.
How far was it? What did you jump over?
I had a Hot Wheels bicycle. A cheater slick is what it's called. You ever
right.
remember cheater slick?
Yeah.
You remember what a sissy bar was?
As long, as high as you could get it.
I jumped three garbage cans and a big wheel. Okay. I went for four garbage cans and a big wheel and ended up with five stitches right here in my elbow.
You know what the worst thing was? They weren't BMX bikes back then. The worst thing was the handlebars.
Yeah.
If you remember the handlebars, I used to take a drill and drive it right through the front of it, right through the gooseneck, put a bolt right through it, and then that would hold the handlebars, because what would happen is you would jump over the jump, and then you'd land, and the handlebars would go forward.
Break right
oh,
over.
Yeah, bust right over.
Over time. Yeah. Now, if you're really cool, you forked it out. You put some extra forks in there, make it a chopper, and you put a steer wheel.
I've seen that, so we had those. And then, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, the slick wheelie tire on there. It's a big slick.
What about playing cards in your spokes.
Oh, yeah. You put the paper, the clip.
Clothespin.
Boom, 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 boom.
Did your mom do laundry and hang the wash out on the laundry, on the line?
I'm not that old.
Oh, bullshit. that's where you get the old, what do you call those things? What would you say? Clothespins.
The clothespins. That's where you get them from. You take them from the neighbor's house or maybe your house.
Back then as kids, you didn't wear no bike helmet. You didn't have no safety gear. Matter of fact, when Mosquito Control had a big fogger. It'd drive down the road and it put smoke out. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. We used to run through that back and forth. Just darting across traffic inside this big smoke-filled Mosquito Control.
You just follow it.
It was like inoculation.
Yeah.
It's like getting a shot.
Yeah. And again, like I said before earlier on, you know, now we know why Mark Baker is the way Mark Baker is.
Well, that could be. That and having lawn darts thrown at you. You remember lawn darts? It had a big metal tip on it with about a 3-inch dart.
Yeah.
And you would throw, you're supposed to throw it in this ring about 25 yards away, and you know you ended up chunking them at your buddies.
Who, I mean, really, like, think about it. Who actually thought? It was fun to play, but who actually thought that even at that time, was an awesome idea to make one of those games?
Oh, it was like cornhole,
but
with a lawn dart.
Exactly.
It's a big ring.
Yeah, it's a big ring.
And you're throwing this dart in it. I mean, it's perfect. Yeah. It was the pre-invention of cornhole.
It was good. Now, we used to run around, you know, at night with, of course, we didn't have lights on our bikes. We used to do, like, choppers. It was cool. And our big thing in the neighborhood was who could do, like, the wheelie. Longest. I mean, we had a kid that would, like, literally do loops around every street all the time. He'd be doing wheelies the whole way. I mean, it was incredible. This guy was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. If you couldn't ride a wheelie, you was a punk.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. Did you ever see
a unicycle?
Yeah.
My brother had a unicycle he had. Like a clown in a circus or something.
Was it like a short one or like pretty high? Pretty high.
You could control the seat and lift it up as high as you wanted. It depended on what kind of fall you wanted to take when you got up on
that. Oh, gosh. You know, the things we did back when we were kids, it was just like we used to run around the street and have no problems. Now, you know, you're worried about that white van driving down the road.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Well, how did we get there? It's crazy.
Yeah, no.
People have gotten a little crazy.
Yeah.
And, You could live dangerously back then as a kid, though, because your dad stepped out when the porch light or when the street lights came on, you had to be home.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. You know, the noise came. I used to run through people's backyards. I used to, you know, we used to make forts.
Oh, yeah.
In people's backyards.
Now, you probably won't believe this, but I grew up in a trailer park.
Yeah.
Okay. In Homestead, Florida.
Yeah?
Yeah. My dad was in the military station.
I was there.
Turkey
Homestead,
Point,
yeah.
And he taught officer survival school up there. But we lived in a trailer park, and you go play with the neighborhood kids, ride your bike, play kickball and all that. But my dad could step out on the porch and whistle. I mean, like a real loud. And I'd say, stop, listen, stop. Everybody be quiet. You heard that whistle, you better get your ass to
dance. Yeah.
It was time to go. Yeah. You better get on that bike and get to pedaling, buddy.
There probably wasn't a second whistle.
Maybe two.
Just maybe two. That'd be two.
You know, if you're playing football, you know, kill the carrier. It's called something worse back then.
Yeah.
You had to run to the house when they did that.
Yeah. And now, you know, obviously, you know, when you get in the car, you strap in.
Oh, if you don't buckle your seatbelt, you will listen to a dinging sound for miles.
Yeah, forever.
Forever. Back in the day, you laid up in the back window as a kid. You just climbed up in the back window, laid down, travel for miles like that.
Yeah, the sun baking on you, kind of like you were a fish in a fish tank.
Baking on you.
And then you remember, you know, your mom would be, you'd be sitting in the front seat, or standing. You'd be standing in the passenger side seat.
Right, standing.
And your mother, she'd be like driving real fast, and she'd get to a stop sign and put her hand over on you, kind of like that, and kind of whack you. You know, like, don't go flying. Like, she's going to stop you from flying out the window.
I still do it. I still reach over to grab the kids when I'm driving, because it's just, that was what was done to me.
Yeah.
And pickup trucks, you know, I'm a pickup truck guy.
Yeah.
Back in the day, pickup trucks, the gas tank was behind the driver's seat. I mean, the little fill, when you got out, you didn't have to go far. It was right there. You just uncapped it, filled it up.
Bomb.
I know. How'd it become that way, though? I mean, we didn't know.
Yeah.
They put a warning label. I remember when coffee was hot.
What? Yeah, but that was a prior lawsuit from, you know, all the different McDonald's. I think they all have a couple. Dunkin' Donuts had one.
Oh,
Starbucks probably got one.
So you got to put a warning label. Okay, I order a coffee. Would you like that? Now they ask you, is that iced or hot? Or they had some word for
the coffee.
Right? Is it latte, frappe? What is it? What's iced and what's hot?
Yeah.
I always say, give it to me hot, right? I want hot coffee. I want your hottest coffee you got. Now it comes with a warning label, caution, contents are hot. Well, no shit. That's what I wanted, hot coffee.
Well, I go into Starbucks the other day and I order a medium.
You know, I'm never going to Starbucks.
A medium coffee.
Never.
I go in and order a medium. The guy looks at me like I got three heads.
Well, that's because you said medium.
I don't know. What is a medium in Starbucks?
I have no idea.
Do you know?
It's got some kind of weird name for it. Vente, Grande.
I said, give me the one that's in the middle, you know, because I don't know what they are.
I don't go in those,
you know,
places.
It's like, it's crazy as far as like the different names. And then if you go up, behind somebody, right, and they go and tell the what do they call them, the folks that make the coffee.
Right, there's a barista.
Barista, there you go, barista. So they're up there going da 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 da. They read it off, and then you get up there and you feel like, hell, I'm stupid, man. What am I supposed to order here? I just want a coffee with a little room. I guess now you have to ask for it, right?
A little room for
cream of sugar.
Room.
Yeah, room. A little space.
Oh, space.
Yeah, you don't fill it up too high. Don't fill it up too high. So, yeah, no, it's definitely, things have changed in that realm.
Well,
but
we got to idiot-proof everything. I mean, I was driving up here to your house and getting down towards Golden Gate Boulevard towards Pine Ridge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking over, and there's, if you're walking down the sidewalk, before you can cross the street, there's a stop sign, a little one. You seen them?
Yeah, they're like on these little poles.
Right. Aluminum pole, little stop sign says stop. It's got two things in front of you that you got to kind of walk, navigate in between to cross the road. And then on the other side, if you're coming the other way, there's another stop sign with two poles. I mean, is that really necessary?
So you're basically saying every driveway, every place you have to stop, they've got
every a road stop sign that comes out to Collier Boulevard. If you're walking on the sidewalk, they put a stop sign to remind you not to cross the road, stop first. I mean, your mom told you, hey, look both ways before you cross the street, right? You never had to stop. You just had to look both ways.
Yeah.
Well, now you got to stop.
Yeah, stop, and then try to figure out exactly
if a car's coming,
when I'm ready to go.
I guess. I can't even fathom why those are there, how much they cost.
Now, why do you think that? That must be, somebody must have came out, backed out, and friggin' ran into somebody.
You can't
or whatever.
You're coming out to get on Collier Boulevard from First Avenue Southwest. You're coming
right
out First Avenue Southwest. You have to stop at a stop sign if you're a car. Now, if you're walking on the sidewalk, you have to stop at a stop sign, I guess. I don't know how you enforce that.
I don't know.
But they've made it where they've idiot-proofed it, spent a ton of money. The other thing, if you notice the bike lane?
Yeah.
Every 50 feet, there's a bike lane sign. Bike lane.
And no shit.
Bike lane. If you don't know you're in the bike lane, look down where you're driving, and it'll say bike lane if you're in a bicycle. Right. Now, I need those lane navigators, so when you get too far over in the bike lane, you should hear, right? Then you know to pull back over. Right?
Yeah.
Cars drive themselves now.
It's crazy.
Did you know that?
Yeah, there's the Tesla.
Tesla.
There's a bunch of them. I would rather have, be quite honest with you, I'd rather have the car driving a lot of vehicles going down the road than some of these people driving. I mean.
Well, invariably, somebody's on the phone when they're slowing down the fast lane, waving all in and out. They're doing something on their phone.
Well, one thing that really is kind of interesting, and I know we have a lot of bike groups that listen in on the podcast as well, but driving a bike down, let's say, Livingston, Airport Road, and you just feel that because I can, I'm going to just drive down the road and not worry about anybody behind me. I think that's kind of like, it's kind of a dangerous ordeal.
Oh, they just, and to get to the intersection, they're trying to navigate. It's almost like Frogger.
Yeah. Well, the problem is you've got one person. All it takes is one person. You're driving down a road, and some knucklehead is not paying attention. And it's like, what did I run over? It's going to be that quick. Yeah. Boom. Yeah, it's going to be, you're done. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me, some of these people.
There's no way I'd ride a bicycle down some of those roads.
Yeah.
You got to be pretty brave to do that.
And I'll be honest with you, I got a motorcycle. I've had it for, I don't know, I've had that same thing. I've had one for at least 15 years now. My current motorcycle I bought in 2013.
It's a fat boy.
fat boy. Yeah. For me. And I bought that thing in 2013, and I have 1,400 miles on it. I mean, I figured it out. I paid like $600 a mile so far. It's got 1,400 miles on that. Nothing. Because every time I'm driving or every time I feel like I'm going on the road, I get real nervous when I pull up to a stop sign and or a light that someone's going to plow me in the ass. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I can't. Well, the weather in Florida, I mean, as soon as you take off riding, it's sunny, and then all of a sudden it's raining, and people can't drive when it's dry outside. So when it's raining, it's even 10 times worse, especially on a motorcycle.
Yeah, no doubt.
I lost my first motorcycle on a going out of marriage sale. I had a Harley.
Well, you told me one of the coolest stories ever about you and a motorcycle in Key West. When you went to fill up with gas. Can you fill us on that one?
I can't.
Give me that little story on that. That's going to be one of the top.
All right. It's spring break, right? Key West. I was a younger man then, right?
Yeah.
And I had a Harley I'd bought from a friend of mine here in Naples. Had it down there in the Keys driving it. And I was out of gas. So I pulled up in the gas station, and I was going to get gas. Well, there was two carloads of ladies who were definitely looked like they were on spring break. It was springtime, so I'm sure they were from some college on spring break, and they're hooting and hollering and everything, and I roll in there, you know, like a big outlaw biker, you know, rack it a few times, you know. Harley, you got to rack a Harley, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You got to. So I pull up there, and they're all like, they're looking over, you know, one waves, I wave. So I take my helmet off, and being real cool, you know, I set my helmet on the speedometer, you know, it's right there in the middle, of the handlebars, and I go to step off, Tim. And I ain't put the fucking kickstand down. So by the time that thing gets to leaning, I can't catch it. Right? I can't stop myself. So I'm trying to run with it. It's getting away from me. Down I go. Bike right on top of me. Boom. They're all go, oh, my God, are you okay? I'm like, no, that's good. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, nothing's here. Yeah, it's good. I'm good. So now I'm trying to pick it up, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I manhandle it up, you know, get the kickstand on. I'm like, oh. How embarrassing. They're like, are you okay? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm just a dumbass. That's all right.
Let me get some gas. I got to get the fuck
get
out of
gas.
Here.
Get some gas. Nothing like a first impression, right?
Yeah.
The outlaw biker drops his bike on the pavement.
Yeah. Pick up, it's a good way to pick up girls. I know that works, but.
No,
it's been an interesting season. You know, obviously, when this COVID thing kicked in middle of February or so, kicked up in March real bad, and, you know, we're kind of dealing with it, and I can't believe that it's almost September. We're halfway through August, almost September. It's crazy.
We talked about this, about masks and about COVID, and I heard a little briefing today about masks, how it's critically important you wear a mask, supposedly, to keep from, you know, getting the particles. It's an aerosol virus, so it doesn't just fall to the ground. It stays in the air for a little while, like perfume or whatever, you spray cologne, it hangs in the air, Lysol or whatever. And the mask is critical, they say. And then, you know, now they're closing down, no college football, which
yeah.
the NFL could shut down as far as I'm concerned. But college football, these athletes, you know, need a chance to play. And I still am on the fence about COVID. If it's 90-something percent survivable.
I think it's higher now, 97.
Why can't we resume, you know, resume your normal activities?
Yeah, you know, be a little safe about it, but resume, right? Big right. Ten, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, they're basically, I think that's way premature.
I think people are making decisions in a vacuum, I think. I don't think we got all the details yet. I think part of it is they want to kind of get the schools open and see if there's another outbreak instead of saying, hey, let's open our schools, let's open football, let's just have a free-for-all. I think they're trying to time it, and I'm hopeful that it seems like they've postponed, though, till the spring. And I don't think that's a good idea. I think these young men and women, they're talking about volleyball the same way. As you know, I got student athletes, and they want to play. And I think you got to give them that opportunity to make it available to where they can do it safely. And if people don't want to play, that's their prerogative. Same way with, you know, wearing a mask or going out. You got to take personal responsibility for yourself.
Yeah, and I think like anything else, I mean, you have to play the numbers and the odds and let people make some decisions on their own. I mean, ultimately, we know that it could overflow the hospitals, but we haven't really seen that yet. I mean, and I know there's, you know, nurses that are working really hard, law enforcement's working really hard, EMS is working really hard. I think we're all trying to work to combat this, but I think if we freeze up and we get paralysis, it's really going to cause long-term effects.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a major problem.
The FHAA, I guess is how you say it.
Yeah, FHAA, yeah.
They're meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to go back at it again on what the recommendations were. And, you know, up in the panhandle, you know where I'm from, Panama City, I know Steve Lloyd was trying to, you know, make a comparison.
Lower Alabama. You
know, L.A., Lower Alabama. That's a redneck Riviera.
Oh,
right
yeah.
There. I mean,
oh,
that's
yeah.
what it's known for. Yeah. And those little boys up there, one of the coaches is on the board, and he's from Weewaw Hitchcock. He's like, hey, let's play ball. Let's get out there and get after it. I mean, let's get it on. So, yeah. And they got a different situation. First of all, they're all small counties. They play each other. A lot of their athletes are multi-sport athletes, so when you start talking about moving different sports around, it's going to impact each program, and they're ready to go. So I think if you look at it from the perspective of it's not really a hot spot, but then what do you do about the state playoffs and state championships? It's not a – I don't think there's the answer for any of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to come down to the schools that can play and want to play and will play. They're going to probably just play ball. And then maybe at the end of the year, they're going to figure out something. There might not be that one end championship game that we're all looking for because, you know, ultimately we want to win. We want to be there. But I think probably the benefit of the kids playing on Friday night, you know, and having a good time, I think that's where it all lies.
I think you get it started. And if certain areas of state can't play when they do resume, maybe at the end of it all, you have some kind of playoff. Who knows? But, you know, it's like UFC looks over. You ready? You ready? Let's get it on. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Well, it's been a great discussion. We have a little, we call it a little bullshit talk every now and then. We love doing it, coming in, talking, and give us some ideas. You can get a hold of me at Tim at 239 Uncensored, Mark at 239uncensored.com.
Yeah, you got it.
And remember now, go on Facebook, tell people about it, like it, share it. That's important. We want to get this out to everybody, and it's going to be just a fun thing. Again, we talked about it, local flavor, a little bit outside, and we get something that's really kind of cool from off and away outside the 239. We'll bring it up, but, you know, let us know, give us feedback, and give us an email.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Call us up. Give us some thoughts on the show and what we can do different, what we can do better. And, you know, even if what we said is relevant, I mean, growing up, you know, there's a lot of stories about that people can relate to.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. It's always good to reminisce.
I don't know how we survived, but somehow we did. And I think our generation will continue on.
Yeah, that's all right. All right, 239 Uncensored. And thank you for joining us. And we're going to head out. We're good. We're out.
See you.
See you. Yeah, we're done.
Yeah,
we're done. We can survive.
This is fun.
Please make sure to download and listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcast. And don't forget to like and share on social media.